The topic of the day at the Army Airborne School at Fort Benning, Georgia, was what you should do if your parachute malfunctions. The class had just gotten to the part about the reserve parachutes when one of the students raised his hand. "If the main parachute malfunctions," he asked, "how long do we have to deploy the reserve?" Looking the trooper square in the face, the instructor replied, "The rest of your life." The great American jazz singer Madeline Perot wrote a song called "Don't Wait Too Long." "You can cry a million tears," she sings, "you can wait a million years. If you think that time will change your ways, don't wait too long. For it is about choice itself." The scene recounted by Jesus shows us the consequence of choice and free will. Free will, to have any meaning at all, has to include the poor choices, the selfish choices, the dead-end choices, and even the mean choices. We are given this gift of free will because God wants us to choose whether to conform ourselves to Him or to our own appetites. He wants us to understand this from our heart, which is why we have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit of wisdom and understanding. For God does not want a house of slaves who have no choice but to be bound to his labor in chains, but rather a house of sons and daughters who freely and joyfully take up his yoke, which is another reading of choice and another cycle of readings, but always in service to others so that they also can find his way. It is each person who follows Jesus asking themselves this question: am I doing as Jesus taught, or am I just claiming to follow him? In this sense, it is kind of a sequel to the parable we heard last Sunday of the 10 bridesmaids, in which the foolish virgins cry, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." And Jesus replies, "I do not know you." This does not mean that we will always make the right choices. Sainthood isn't a lifetime of perfection, as the lives of the saints themselves will always attest. But rather, sainthood is a lifetime of proceeding toward perfection, which we can only attain through God's grace. Jesus came to give us forgiveness for our sins, for our poor choices, and our addiction to worldly appetites. The choice to love others more than ourselves absolutely is contingent on receiving his grace and his forgiveness, which are always abundantly available to all who seek it. For at the heart of all we do as followers of Jesus Christ is this gospel message and revelation from the heart of the Father. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. When the main motivating factor of our actions to bless others is this incredible revelation from God, then we truly are focused on his kingdom for why we do what we do. For as we hear, this kingdom was founded for us before creation itself, which is why the Lamb is given the title in the book of Revelations, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. For the world has soup kitchens and those who care for others in many regards. All over the world, we can find people who care based on the physical needs of others. But we are called to care not because Jesus just had sympathy or empathy for those in need, although he obviously did. We are called to care because Jesus died for those in need. If God so loved the world that he would lay down the life of his Son, Jesus Christ, for the world, then how much deeper is his compassion for the poverty of the world than we could ever imagine? And how great is the humility of the Son of God, who, although he dwelt in all eternity in unapproachable light, receiving accolades from myriads of angels, he left that, taking on a contingent human life for our sake. The humility in that is beyond understanding, but it is something we are called to follow. For that poverty, in essence, is a reflection of a broken, sinful world of people making wrong choices. To miss the truth of this is to miss the foundation of the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. For all of this has been done for the sake of sinners, for our sake. The glory that Jesus received from the Father was because of his sacrifice completely for the broken, to bind them up. It did not add anything to his stature, but add so much to ours that we might share in the divine life. And our Lord refused to receive any kind of glory from the world in a kingly crown. And we hear that at times the crowds wanted to make him king by force, but Jesus Christ refused and rather freely accepted a crown of thorns, a crown of suffering for us. The difference between salvation and damnation is the choice to act outside of ourselves, to have the caritas, the love, to put others ahead of ourselves, as Jesus did for us. All glory, honor, and praise to our King of Kings.